As of Monday, April 4th, the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in the United States has risen to over 1.5 million, with over 67,000 deaths. America is struggling to keep their citizens safe, but without treatments, vaccines, or enough testing kits, the best resource we have is coming together to stay far away from each other. That's why stay-at-home orders and social distancing are what scientists around the world are recommending to keep yourself and others safe. Jose Shaposhnik, a professor of health sciences at the University of Miami, says that this is because simply being in the same room as someone can greatly increase the rate of transmission of the virus.
Transmission occurs primarily through droplets of saliva that come out of us and then have any contact with mucosa of the mouth, of the nose, or the eyes of other people. So if you're in that same room with someone that has the virus, those smaller droplets can get to you way beyond 6 feet.
This is why it's so important to go home and stay home. But not everyone has that luxury. And no, we're not talking about doctors or first responders or even the homeless. Today, we're talking about prisoners. These men and women stuck behind bars have no ability to social distance. Every facility they use is a public one, and they live in cells with many other people.
People that are in a cell will contract it from each other. It's very, very likely.
And that's why prisons and jails across the country have become hotspots for this disease. According to the Marshall Project, there are over 14,000 confirmed cases in state prisons alone. Catherine Naughtney, a professor of sociology, focuses her research in correctional healthcare. She says the lack of social distancing is only one of the reasons the disease spreads so quickly in prisons and jails.
Because of the built environment of prisons where people are in close contact with one another, there's no ventilation, the air is very stagnant. They're surrounded by hard surfaces, which we know that the virus can live right on metal and other hard surfaces for a matter of days. They don't have uninhibited access to things like soap or hand sanitizer. All of these things that the CDC wants us to do to limit the spread are just unavailable.
And this is only part of the problem. The men and women in these facilities may be more likely to die or have severe symptoms because they fall into higher risk categories.
So people who are incarcerated tend to have worse health profiles than the general population because we tend to incarcerate people who are impoverished, right, or who are living in economically disadvantaged neighborhoods, which are themselves drivers of poor health.
According to prisonpolicy.org, 42% of people in prisons and jails have chronic medical conditions. Inmates are also 31% more likely to have asthma and 55% more likely to have diabetes, two conditions that put people at a much higher risk of dying from COVID-19. And access to healthcare for inmates is very limited. Few know this better than Brian Rooney. He has spent over a decade in prison himself and now runs a prisoner advocacy network where he keeps in touch with nearly 100 people behind bars.
You're in a prison with 1,500 people and you have one doctor. You know, it's not good. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, it is a mess. Prime example, okay, before I got out, I was supposed to go to the dentist. I was on a year waiting list. Okay? And the doctor, the dentist, for instance, didn't show up that day. So, well, we're going to have to put you back on the list. Well, I put in a request form and I said, well, when am I going to see him? My number came up and they were like, oh, it's probably going to be another 6 months.
In these kinds of conditions, the men and women behind bars feel helpless and scared. And so do the people that care about them.
It's a really good friend of mine, Steven. I mean, he's getting out in 9 months. And he's like, I have 9 months to go. I've done 8 years and I could die in here. Emotions are running high. People are afraid. You know, human beings can accept anything but uncertainty. And there's a lot of uncertainty right now in prison.
To keep inmates safe, states are beginning to make policy changes.
I think one of the key things that states have been doing or some states have been doing is limiting new intakes, releasing folks that may be elderly or somehow compromised. Or releasing people that have less than 6 months on their sentences to try to reduce their overall prison population. And then that way they can enforce some more social distancing.
But because correctional facilities are run by individual states, the changes being made are not the same across the country. In Michigan, for example, David McKenzie is about a month away from finishing his sentence in Eaton County Jail, where none of the policies Nautney mentioned are being implemented.
Like, I guess this is actually the only county that's not stopping bringing people in, or, you know what I mean? I guess, like, all the other counties are not arresting anybody. There's no social distancing in here. We're all locked out of ourselves. We're not allowed in ourselves. So we got about 25 guys in here right now, and there ain't no way to not be around anybody, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Even though Eaton County Jail has no confirmed cases of COVID-19, David McKenzie's mother, Sheila McKenzie, is still concerned.
As time goes on, I get more and more worried. They're only 45% full, so they're not releasing anybody.
And on top of everything, McKenzie also says the guards don't give them access to supplies they could use to keep themselves safe.
But we've asked for masks. They won't give us any masks.
Sometimes they'll put their towel on their face basically to use it as a mask, and they're told to remove it so they cannot hide their face in any way.
We've asked for antibacterial soap. They don't give us no soap. You hit a button, you get yelled at, you know, for asking for, you know, toilet paper, or asking for a mop bucket, you know.
You at least like to know that you're going to be treated, you know, humanely, you know, with dignity.
But I don't think they really care, you know. It's like a game for them, it's a game.
In this kind of atmosphere, tensions are high and fears run rampant. Brian Rooney believes that this could lead to violent reactions.
You know, you're going to start seeing a lot of riots. You're going to start seeing a lot of unrest in prison.
We have reached out to several organizations of correctional employees, but none of them have gotten back to us to comment. Although inmates and correctional officers may find themselves at odds, Nautney believes it's important to keep one thing in mind.
People who are incarcerated, people who work in correctional settings, people in the community, we all have shared fates. We should actually be more proactive in our group living quarters than we are in the community. And that's something that, at least as far as prisons are concerned, I don't think has happened yet.
As we know, COVID-19 can have the most devastating effects on already vulnerable populations like those behind bars. That's why it's important for all of us to do our part to help limit the spread of this disease, in order to protect those who cannot protect themselves.